Something I learned vividly when I lived in Asia, and that I observed elsewhere ever since, is that every society, every culture that I've known, experienced, or read about has a system where there are, in the culture, those who are considered superior and those who are considered inferior, the greater and the lesser. I learned this one time when I had just moved to Manila and was joking around with some that were considered servants, and I was told I should not do that, and that made me uncomfortable. In that culture, strangely enough, I was considered one who was greater. Now, I worked at a golf course then when I was also younger, and this was an old money type of golf course where I was a caddy. And I was treated in that context as someone who was lesser. And I was somewhat more comfortable with that. There are things that people perceive about themselves and others which create this system where people are viewed as greater or lesser. And in different cultures, it happens in different ways. There are differences that distinguish people by economic class, by age, by ethnicity, by beauty, by intelligence or education. And these things come out where we, even without thinking about it, might think, I am above or I am below. In our passage today, we have something that Jesus does that really directly addresses this. And as it says in verse 1, it says that Jesus did something at the feast, before the feast, it says, before the feast of the Passover. He knew that his hour had come, and so he did something with his disciples. Now, the setting is that they're in Jerusalem, and they're in a place that we refer to as the upper room. It would have been a stone structure, a room that was big enough for Jesus and his disciples. And this begins a series where, over about five chapters, we will learn about what happened this one evening, this one night, through the night, when Jesus teaches just his disciples. He's no longer teaching the big crowds any longer. He's teaching his close group of disciples. And while they're there, this is before the Passover, the different things are happening. They go from this place where they have this supper together. They go out and they go for a walk. They end up at a place called Gethsemane, where Jesus will be betrayed by Judas. And he is praying, and it's late in the through the night. Now, it says in this passage, it says in our verse that at this place in the upper room where they're having this last supper, that Jesus showed his love to his disciples. It says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And then something else is really emphasized in this verse and in verse 3, that Jesus had a particular perspective on what was happening. He knew that his hour had come. This was the hour when he would be glorified, that he had referred to. This was the hour when he would be crucified. This time, this point in time, was the purpose, the focal point of his mission, of his ministry, why he came from God. And before he would go back to the Father, this hour would take place. He knew who he was, and he knew exactly what was happening. And because of this, Jesus did something. Jesus, in this upper room, when they were having this supper, when they were breaking bread, and when they were drinking wine, and he instructed them, and he instituted the Lord's Supper, what we call communion or the Lord's Supper. They were eating together, and it says that it was in the middle of this. In the middle of this time of having this supper together, Jesus stood up. And he did something. Now, what was happening when Jesus decided to show his love to his disciples? and was loving them to the end. What were the disciples doing at this supper? Well, we read in the Gospel of Luke that they were having a dispute with one another. In Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 24, it says that a dispute arose in that room. In that upper room where Jesus said, "This is my body and this is my blood. These are symbols of what I am doing for you." In that very context, a dispute arose among the disciples. And this is what it says. They disputed about this, as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. You see, in their mind, in this very context in the upper room, they were thinking, I'm better than Thomas. I mean, I'm definitely better than Bartholomew. I mean, I'm going to have a place of above them. And they're thinking, who do you think you are? I've been with them for 3 years. I've been learning. And they're thinking, no, I'm higher than you. No, you're below me. And they're back and forth, and they're having a dispute. And Jesus said to them, look, guys, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And those in authority over them are called benefactors. Not so with you. And it was in this context, where people are always playing this game, this silly game of king of the hill. Who is above another? Through, I'm wealthier than you. I'm smarter than you. I'm better looking. Or I come from something important. No, Jesus said, not so among you. You know, other people have noticed this system of we might call it different classes, different levels of value that are put on people. And different people have come up with solutions. Now, one that keeps rearing its ugly head is from Karl Marx, a German philosopher, what he called the utopian society, where instead of having authority and structures of class, he said, let's get rid of all of it. And you can read about how that really always plays out if you read Orwell's book, Animal Farm. It's a short book. What is the solution, though? I mean, I just told you, I don't think Karl Marx got it right. I think he got it quite wrong. But he was right in pointing out some of the problems, that some suppress others, that we have these classes and that they do real damage. But what is the solution? Well, Jesus shows them something very different. And what he does is he doesn't get rid of authority. We should notice that. Authority is actually a good thing. But it's the exploitation of others who are equally valuable that is wrong. And that happens all over the place. What does Jesus do here? He doesn't get rid of authority. What he does is he brings in a solution. And the solution is love. The solution is love. It says this, that he loved his disciples. He showed them this in a way that was self-abasing. Now, he knew who he was, it says. He was full of glory. He came from the Father. He was going back to be with the Father. This is God the Son. And it says Jesus knew this. This was in his head. And he lowered himself to serve them. He took a place of humiliation. When I was working as a caddy, carrying golf clubs, people can say very insulting things to you. And I was told the first day I was a caddy, there's three rules that you need to know. Show up, keep up, and shut up. Okay? Jesus willingly took that place. In fact, he took a place that was lower than that. Now, the equipment was there. The basin and the water and the towel, they were there. But when they walked into this upper room, no one touched it. They were arguing, playing this king of the hill thing, that I'm better than you, and who is greater? And Jesus, in the middle of the supper, stands up, and he takes off his robe. He takes it off, and now he looks like a slave. This is what a slave would do in this culture. And he takes the towel, and he wraps it around him, and he pours the water into the basin, and he starts going around. Now, in this culture, you wear sandals, and it's hot, and you sweat. and the dirt gets on your feet, and your feet are the dirtiest part of your body. And Jesus walks around with those that look at him and they say, he is the guy we should be following because he's the guy. He can do it all. And we're following him because he's the one that should be in charge. And they willingly saw themselves as under Jesus. And what does he do? He takes off his robe and he starts washing their feet. He took the position of a slave. You know, we read about this over in Philippians chapter 2. That we are supposed to have the same mindset that Jesus had, considering others as more significant than ourselves. And it says some things about that. That Jesus, who in the likeness of God, he didn't grasp onto that. He knew that he had all glory, that he had authority over everything. In fact, in our passage, Jesus knew that God had given all authority to Jesus. Jesus knew who he was. But what did he do? Well, he became like us. That's what we're remembering at Christmas. He came in the form of humanity, and he humbled himself. He took himself from that place, knowing where he was, and people were realizing who he was, his disciples especially. They were realizing his glory, and he put himself low. He humbled himself by becoming obedient, even to the point of death, even death on a cross. That was Jesus' solution. Jesus saw them arguing. Jesus knew who he was. He knew where he came from. He knew where he was going. And they needed his help. They were still stuck in this paradigm of king of the hill. Who's better? Who's greater? Who's less? He took the role of a slave. In Mark 10:45, Jesus said this, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." This was a great display of love toward the disciples, and it was full of grace. And something that we'll focus on again next week, it was so full of grace. None of them deserved it. And this might shock you,